Oh my goddess. So happy Valentine's Day. Y'all, look, we made it to another day to celebrate love in all of its beautiful intricacies.
And to charge 40% more for chocolate.
Yes. You know, that was always my strategy growing up because I knew that at the day after Valentine's Day, all the candy was marked down. So like if you
like
really
going shopping
love chocolate.
After Christmas or something?
Yeah, because think about it. They manufacture all this chocolate just for Valentine's Day. So those, you know, my favorite was Russell Stover. Do you know those with the heart-shaped box and all the different flavored?
Not the heart-shaped little candy things.
No.
That say like, you know, penis. And
those are fine. I liked those as a kid.
I did not like those.
Because they're really chalky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The flavor was always...
gross?
Yeah.
But the concept was cute. It was like, okay, this has a message on it. That's smart.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and then I think Dove has those chocolates where you unwrap it and there's like a message inside or like quotes from people that send them in. Mm-hmm. It's very sweet. I think the candy industry, although it is, you know, the cause of a lot of unhealthy habits and issues like diabetes and stuff like this, I think candy is still just such a treat. It's like in moderation, it's a beautiful ritual.
Oh, yeah. Come on. I mean, what are they? It's like when you have sugar, your brain lights up in the similar ways that like doing cocaine and heroin and shit like that.
All right. So happy Valentine's Day.
Sugar is the biggest.
It's the biggest addiction we have. And it's the legal drug, right? Besides caffeine, which is also.
Oh.
We put them together in coffee, y'all.
That's my favorite.
So I think candy, because I also just love Charlie the Chocolate Factory. I love these kind of movies. I personally love getting candy as gifts. Like, I think it's just so fun. And
careful what you ask
for. I know, actually,
for.
Maybe take that back. Don't bring me chocolates, because I will eat them.
Still working through all the pre-rolls everybody brought.
I know. Oh, tour, we get the best presents on tour. Thank you. You don't need to bring me any gifts. The gift is your presence. So happy Valentine's Day. It's just, here we are just stuck on chocolate now. How are we going to get out of the chocolate? Now I'm just thinking about it.
In the chocolate river.
I mean, a lot of witches actually eat chocolate as a part of their ritual. So like they'll do their spell work and they'll do their tarot drawings and then they'll do candle magic and then like have a, this is really healthy.
What is the chocolate?
The chocolate, it symbolizes self-love. If I'm not mistaken, please let us know in the comments. All my witches that are listening, you know, especially dark chocolate, like the most pure, like if you can get like above 70% dark chocolate.
It's cacao.
It's a magical, you know, thing from the earth that just promotes, kind of like when I put the coffee grounds in the spell jars that I made for the tour. The self-love jars have coffee grounds as the first ingredient because it accelerates whatever your intention is, you know. They say in magic that all this woo-woo stuff, like dressing up in a robe and like having a wand, all of it is just to woo your subconscious. It's like a very masculine practice of being like the way the male peacock puts its feathers out to attract a mate. In magic, you have these rituals with all these dinky things and all your knickknacks. Like I have shelves in my house dedicated to all my crystals because the act of just like doing these small little physical movements, and I guess in some cultures they sacrificed things. It's just like a way of prompting your subconscious to be like, yes, bitch, this is coming. This is manifesting.
Putting on a show for it.
Exactly. You put on a show and it's one of the laws of nature, I guess, is to not only think and intend, but to do, to take an action step. Mm-hmm. So that's why it is magical to give chocolates to people you love on Valentine's. It is like it probably has roots in paganism. Speaking of manifestation, before we hop into our topic, which is so yummy, Nick and I were talking a lot this week because we want to stay current on this podcast with our growth and our personal development. But the phrase sponsoring thought, so with regards to manifestation, something that I was missing in my original recipe was that, and I think this is true, you know how when you're trying to manifest something in your brain and you're like, yes, but there's like that other you, the deeper, more eternal you that's watching you? We call that the sponsoring thought. And if what you want is not being affirmed by the sponsoring thought, it won't manifest, babe. Or it will just take a really long time.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a few ways, interesting ways, so you can just continue to try to, you just say the same thing over and over and over enough that you start to actually believe it and it becomes a habitual saying that just shows up in your head.
And you get the sponsoring thought to agree.
It starts eventually, you just beat it into submission.
Right.
Because it's like, true. Oh. Also, human brains, you know, like if you hear something enough times, it does start to recognize it as truth.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But, you know, here we are. But the other way to do it too. So like one of the things that I would say in the very beginning when I started producing was I was like, I am the biggest producer in the world. Hmm. And it would always be a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a rub or a little bit of something. Cause I was like, okay, well, if you want to be the biggest producer in the world, what that means is you are going to have to be a part of, the label systems and that whole game and how that works, which is, you know, 80% politics. And I'm not saying a lot of those guys aren't fucking incredible at what they do.
No, talent has nothing to do with it.
Well, it can. They're committed to another part of the thing that I'm not sure I give a shit about.
Right.
So, or, you know, we know I don't give a shit about. So it was like, well, if I want to be the biggest producer in the world, and again, maybe this is a limiting belief, but I could listen to the sponsoring thought and there was a little bit of a rub. It was like, yeah, but you're not taking the action. Why aren't you taking the action?
Right. Maybe it's not really what you want to be
because
the biggest producer.
I don't want to take that action if it comes with these other things of limiting creativity and just making the same shit over and over or whatever. Any kind of like feeling like I had to be tied down to something.
A loss of freedom.
It was a loss of freedom, pretty much, what it came down. Or you're not in the creative driver's seat.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is. Somebody else's final say about something.
So the sponsoring thought or the higher self of you is always looking out, babe. Mm-hmm. It's always like, listen, do you really want this shit? And that's what this episode is going to be about.
But I will say, one thing that did resonate as true, because I've been playing around with different things and I could feel it, was I'm an incredibly successful music producer. Hmm. And that was a different vibrational response.
That felt true.
That was true.
And so when those things get into alignment in your body, your vibration is now a much clearer. What is it called? It's inviting. It's trying to attract those things to opportunities to you like a magnet.
Yeah.
And when it's clear, when there's no rub, like Jedi Nick said, it's much easier to manifest. So that was like a big theme for us this last couple weeks. And we were like, let's bring this to the podcast this week and see how y'all are feeling about this in our Herbie House community. If you want to join us on our VIP community, we've got Herbie.house. It's still just popping, y'all. We love the Discord. We love all the extended aura cleanses and the meditations. And there's now like a backlog of really great content there. If anybody feels like they're late to the party, you are not. But we want to be on this journey with you and encourage you to be the most authentic, artistic, creative version of you possible. So many of you have said to me, like sort of in private too, I'm not really an artist. It's like, we're here to convince you otherwise, because life is literally about creating yourself.
Well, it could be in any way possible.
Yeah.
Any way possible. Doesn't mean you have to even necessarily make something physical or make intellectual property like music or whatever, videos. Paint. You don't have to be doing that stuff to be an artist.
I have some babes that are so magnificent at curating what they like. And that's a talent. I have babes who are really good at, you know, there's so many specific niche things that you can be good at. So today's episode is really rudimentary, but it's also like something I don't know if we've focused on enough. And that's authenticity. I want today's episode to be your authenticity booster shot in case you feel like you've been lacking or if you want to review. Because as we're constantly creating our life and our adventure and our dream together, you have to go back and review, like, who am I now, right? And that sponsoring thought, that higher self is always speaking to you. And what you may have thought you wanted before, like Jedi so eloquently explained, it may not be perfectly the wording that is going to help you become a magnet for it. And so we're just always tweaking and we're always just questioning. And I want this episode to act as like a, almost like, have you ever had a ginger shot of like raw ginger? I want this to be like that kind of feeling for your authenticity and
clear out your sinuses.
Even Nick was saying earlier, like nobody's going to give you permission to be your authentic self, but you, but actually me and Nick are here to give you permission.
We can do it, but nobody else is going to, same thing. Like all these, I'm obsessed with hearing about all the backstory of all these successful actors and artists and all the stuff. And like, they all are like, you know, you think someone just bursts through the door. You're sitting in your apartment and someone just bursts through the door and they're like, you come with me. You're going to be a big star. And it's like, wow, really?
Whoa.
And then it just goes out. No, that never fucking happens.
Nope.
You have to put yourself out there. You have to start the process. You have to, you know, it's a special thing to try to do.
What did you say before we sat down? You said John Mayer used to play in his room pretending he was playing.
Yeah. So I think it was a John Mayer quote. He was like, when I used to sit in my room alone pretending I was playing for an arena of people, and then now I play for an arena of people thinking I'm in
pretending.
My room, pretending I'm in my room playing for myself.
Isn't that so cool?
Yeah. Because he's now trying to be, he's trying to keep it as real
authentic.
And as authentic as he can.
So let's start with the definition of authentic, because you know on Herbie House, we like to just start with the dictionary. Authentic, it means of undisputed origin. Genuine. That's literally a three-word definition. Undisputed origin, genuine. Right? And so I was like, well, what does genuine mean? Genuine means sincere truth. So this is where it starts to get wishy-washy. Like, well, what is that? What, this is not a very clear, words fail
yeah.
to define authenticity, but undisputed and genuine, sincere truth, no one else can know this for you. That's what I got from it. There's literally no one that can tell you shit. Right? So it's like, if it's our responsibility to be authentic, what is it that prevents us from living authentically?
Right.
That's kind of what this episode's going to explore. I want it to feel like a booster shot, especially for my people pleasers, myself included.
Yeah.
Because people pleasers, traditionally, y'all know this, change who they are to make other people happy. And over time, we've have studies on this, guys. It's the long term shows that there are mental and physical repercussions for this.
Yeah.
This is like, I don't want to list all the things, like all the symptoms that can happen because your body expresses and puts energy in different places. But if we don't find a way to access our authenticity, like we will suffer. So what I came to find in these simple definitions that fail us with words is it's more about focusing on what you want than what others expect.
Yeah.
I think that was what I was like, damn, if we need to just shift, right? Because you can't just abandon everybody else's feedback either in life.
It's, yeah, but
you
what
have
is,
to make sure the ratio of what you love is bigger than what other people.
I think it's a healthy thing to consider feedback and to still be, so the big thing for me, the big word that I've been living with is unattached or like loose. Whenever something starts to feel too rigid and too tight and too constricted, it means I'm becoming too attached to something.
Hmm.
So I'm always, if like getting someone else's, I think you always have to be loose with it. Like you have to be open to receiving other people's ideas and then like the possibility that like they're totally wrong. Or, you know, you could take a little piece of here and there. Maybe this was a little part of this you thought was cool and this part was whatever. Or it could all be completely out the window.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, what we always say is like, you have to, sometimes you got to fucking move to Florida to realize you don't want to live in Florida.
Right.
It's so much of, for me at least, it was so much life experience and so much figuring out things that I thought I wanted or I thought I wanted to do. That once I got there, I realized it was nothing at all what I, you know, authentically wanted to do.
Right. And so I think as a society, we also need to embrace this idea that we're all always evolving, right? I had this feeling as a people pleaser, like, well, what if I do start being my authentic self around people who I've been trying to change for? They're going to be like, bitch, what the fuck?
You, who are you?
Who are you? Right?
Yeah.
And is it okay? And so we're going to get to that in this episode. I really want to focus. I really feel like it's two focus points for me, at least where I'm at now. Figuring out what you authentically love. That was like one of the bigger challenges. And then cultivating a safe circle of people that make you feel safe to be authentic. So I think it's those two things. It's like, how do you speak to your freaking intuition and say, like, do I like the red shoes or the blue shoes? And then how do you cultivate a circle of people that can be around you in your day-to-day life that give you that courage to be authentic, right? Because that's how we can live our best life, I think.
So you get there. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And let's talk about all the dirty stuff in between, because from where we're sitting, like from where I am, you know, I may be at like 70%, right? But growing up, like I really asked myself, and this really helped me. I wonder if y'all who are listening can think about this too. If, especially those that grew up in an environment that didn't feel safe to be your authentic self, right? Which I think is a lot of like the religious trauma, emotional neglect, CPTSD babies, like anybody who was like abused in any sense growing up or who had a traumatic childhood, how much of a percent of your authentic self do you think you could be? I really want to know the answer. Like, and your gut will tell you. So this is our first lesson of the day is, how do you speak to your intuition, right? Like Jedi Nick, how did you know that being the biggest producer in the world was not, was creating friction? You explain it as if it's like a rub. It's like something is not ringing true. Your sponsoring thought doesn't agree. Where is that feeling? How do, I know words are going to fail, but where has it happened for you? For me, it's like sort of the middle of my body.
It's gut.
It's yeah, gut?
It's a gut response. Yeah.
And so it's like gut a, it's like a queasy, like a queasiness that something's off.
Yeah. I think there it's some little, like there's some harm, vibrational harmony that doesn't exist.
Yeah. And when you feel, it's and like, when it is in alignment is a good word, right? Ugh, it's overused. But when you feel in alignment, is it like a sense of peace? Is that the two, those are the two responses?
Yeah. Probably like, yeah, probably. I think again, anything that makes you feel expansive.
Mm-hmm.
So what, when I would say that, one of the things that I would feel is I would feel almost like this like
restriction.
Well, like despair or fear of having to work with all of these people, you know, having to play those games to get there.
Yeah, and could
in,
you
in that way
could you feel authentic and safe around them?
And I have been around those people before, and the answer was no.
Right.
I could not fake it.
Right.
I couldn't. I tried.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it doesn't mean that you still can't, it's in a, and this is also like a letting go mechanism. It's like, it doesn't mean that still can't happen through a different avenue.
Yeah.
Of just creating so much and being so obsessed and trying to just making the best thing I possibly can.
Yeah.
That maybe from that you get to that place, but trying the normal way that everybody does with like getting in bed with these certain A&R people and doing, you know, that way was not going to be, that wasn't going to be sustainable. It wasn't going to be a sustainable option for me. So that rub of thinking about how to do that was like, okay, well, let's break the problem down. How do we, you know, how do we get there? And me thinking about where I would be in those things did not spark joy.
Right. And I wonder if, because there are 8 billion people in the world, right? So there's not only a small select group of people that make you feel unsafe that produce music. We could... Maybe if you're in a situation, people that are listening, where you're like, I don't feel safe. Oh my God, Queen, I'm resonating so much with this episode. We're going to go over this, but like maybe if you have a little bit of vulnerability and a little bit of courage to be your authentic self, what seems to happen, according to the research I did, is that the people that don't line up with you, if you hold your ground authentically, those people fall away. And yep. Like Jedi was saying, you attract a new tribe of people around you that are going to be in alignment more. So that's kind of...
It's like oil and water.
It is. And if we were, I was especially being a people pleaser, maybe I was attracting people into our experience that made us believe that we couldn't be a part of the industry in that way. But now having the courage to be more authentic, we are attracting people.
Exactly.
It's like, holy shit. So
that's
you
what
also,
I mean.
You have
it's
to
another,
grieve.
It's you, another way through.
You
it's
have a, to grieve like... that it didn't work out the way you thought, and you have to take accountability. Like, I have to be accountable. Like, yo, I was not being honest.
Yeah, yeah. But again, you, yeah, and maybe you thought you were for where you were at the time.
Yeah.
You had nothing else to reference.
Yes, and I do want to say that for those of you that grew up in an unsafe environment, right? Because the family origin, you have no other frame of reference.
Yeah.
If you are being loved conditionally, meaning that you only received love from your family when you acted a certain way. You didn't even know there was a level to life where you could be authentic and be safe. So you, there's not even a, right? There's not even a scale for you to measure your own authenticity. This has to be done now as an adult.
Yeah.
And so congratulations, and I'm sorry. Right?
Like, congratulations, and I'm sorry.
I feel for you, babe.
The new number one hit song you by know? Queen Herbie.
So when I did that percentage exercise and I was like, okay, how much percentage did I feel safe?
Yeah.
It, growing up, and this is no one's fault. I don't blame my family. I don't blame my community that I grew up in. It was a beautiful childhood for what it was, right? And it just, who I was authentically at the time, that was dangerous. And so for me, it was 9%. That's what my intuition said, 9%.
Damn.
Imagine like only access, and maybe it's something about being young in general and just not knowing how to navigate the world.
Totally. Which right? is which that is everybody.
So there's no reason to blame anybody. That's not useful or productive. Really what it is, and be angry, right? Be grieve your childhood if it sucked, by all means. But if you were like, I was at 9%, Queen, I want you to now tell me what the number is for you today. Have you come a certain distance? And we need to celebrate that because it's a huge step. And if you're not at 100%, right? So for me, I feel like I was telling Nick, probably like between 65 and 80%, which is great. But like, I have so much more to go. That's exciting, right? So we're on the lit train, as Shaman Durek says. I have a kind of a helpful quote from somebody on the internet, Zahara Williams, who's a licensed clinical social worker and the co-founder of Ivory Park Counseling in Texas. She defined what being authentic means, you know, and she probably speaks to a lot of people who have to heal this shit. So she said, being in tune with your values and passions. Okay, absolutely. I was like, wait, we haven't even talked about values, right? So there's a website that we'll include in the show notes this week that's called personalvalue.es. So it really just reads personal values, but there's like a dot. So helpful. This little quiz, I had Jedi take it, and I took it, and we looked at our values and
I did. Oh, yeah, I remember.
He doesn't remember taking it. The quiz.
Does not value short-term memory.
Does not value quizzes given to him by his
personality
wife.
Personality quizzes.
but defining, being in tune with your values is hard. I was like, I don't know. So this quiz is cute because if you click on that link, it's free. It gives you two things. Like, do you value being healthy or being creative? And you just keep picking little decisions. And at the end, it'll give you like your five core values. And bitch, write those down because it is so helpful to see yourself on paper in that way. Zahara Williams also said being fulfilled.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're being authentic because you have a sense of fulfillment. You're navigating your life with purpose. Fuck yeah. That's a whole different energy than just trying to get by and trying to like hide who you are.
Yeah.
Prioritizing what brings you peace. So there's that answer from earlier. There's less of that rub and that dissonance, mm-hmm. and there's more of that peace because that sponsoring thought, the higher self, is not fighting your choices. You're in alignment, which again, we roll our eyes at the word alignment, but it's the best word.
Yeah.
Having tenacity and flexibility. So now there's like this new energy that emerges. When you are being your authentic self, you have like unlimited energy to like go after shit. Which, how else can you be successful in building your dream life without this? Right? So now we're just being like fucking authentic as fuck because this is it. This is it. It doesn't mean shutting yourself off entirely to other people's opinions or advice, right? There's a delicate balance. Constructive feedback is good for growth.
There is, but I think there are also times where if you got to, so, you know, we were both people pleasers, you way more than me, but still, you know, I was to a certain extent. The Northeast is just so different.
It
is. Growing up in the Northeast is just like, so different than the Midwest.
Being a nice guy is different than a people pleaser. I don't think you qualify. You're
maybe,
just a nice, maybe
well,
you're too nice.
Yeah, I'm definitely too nice. Oh God, guys, we just started watching Fargo.
Oh no.
Talk about people pleaser and how, because it's set in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And it's not, it always says it's based off a true story. It's not, it's totally fake. But there was a movie Fargo back in the 90s by the Coen brothers, which was William H. Macy and those people. Amazing movie, super fucking dark. And now it's a show, kind of similar concepts. And the whole, you know, it's set in Minnesota in the winter. So it's freezing, dark, cold. And the people are just so nice to their own death.
But they hate themselves.
Some of them, but you know, the other, the lot of people who don't, but some of them, they just can't ever stand up for themselves,
right.
And they can't ever, you know, and they literally just continue to like be so nice to people to until like they get literally locked in rooms and murdered and like,
yeah,
all this stuff. It makes me think of that every time because the Midwest is just, you know, you just don't try to, you don't make people feel uncomfortable. You don't try to get in the way. You don't, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
No, it just goes against the culture.
It was wild, like, when I'm talking to somebody from the Midwest and they're, like, afraid to complain about the food being cooked incorrect, like, finding a piece of glass in your dinner. It's like, no, no, it's, I'll just, I'm like, no, tell them, you know, or, you know, customer service issues, like, they're afraid to ask for help. And now I understand so much about myself.
So if you're there, like, sometimes I feel like it's healthy to just, to maybe pretend, you know, what happens if you completely shut off and just do everything that you want to do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're probably never going to do a 180 thing. You might be like, wow, it's like, you know, all those memes are like, I'm entering my villain era, even though like, you know, I asked for oat milk and they gave me dairy and I told them to correct it on my latte. You know what I mean?
It's,
and
they're so like, true.
Yeah,
it's so
like
true.
You may perceive what you think is what you're doing is like this, wow, how could you ever? But in reality, you've barely fucking, barely nudged the meter over a little bit.
Yeah. So this is like a balance between accepting feedback, constructive feedback for your growth, but not allowing that to dictate your perception of who you are, your abilities, or the possibilities that exist for you. So I think that was kind of the, you know, we like to be very encouraging on this podcast, but also it's like, well, if you're already very authentic and very outgoing, like don't, do it at the detriment of yourself either. Some people have a little self-sabotage thing going on. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. Right. I think it's all for, I don't think there's any wrong choice here. Again, you know, who's to say, you know, you could start being 110%. authentic, you know, what that's going to do. I don't know. I think it's just less, me personally, I work from experience. So I have to experience different things in different scenarios for me to learn how my own intuition reacts to it and how I feel from it, what my sponsoring thought is saying, and kind of go from there. Again, like Carl Jung, if you want to dream, go outward. If you want to awaken, go within.
Yeah.
So it's, and this can go, this will help everything. This will help you understand who you are, even your own responses to things. Because half the time you might be having a very intense response to something in a negative way, but you're not even paying attention to your body to understand it, to hear it.
True.
Even listening to, if you, you know, spirit guides, the whole thing, even you believe in it or not, whatever that intuition thing is, if you are not silent and still long enough, you'll never hear it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first thing that I have in my first string of notes. It's like, when figuring out what we are authentically love and who we are, it's like, silence is the, that's the only thing we have, y'all. Like, if you can't sit alone in the quiet, and meditation obviously is, if you want to start slow and easy, like a guided meditation on YouTube for 5 minutes, like start there, get comfortable with being inquiring within yourself, like, is there a rub when I talk about being the biggest producer versus, you know, being a very successful one in my own right? Can I tweak my mission statement? Can I just adjust, you know, how far off am I? The only way to get a map of where you are in your authentic journey, authenticity journey, is to be quiet, bitch. Like, sit there in silence, make a tea or something, get some dark chocolate and pull some tarot cards.
Well, and like, it's as fucking corny as it is or whatever, ask. Ask the fucking universe.
Yeah, we do this thing sometimes.
All the time, man. And then, like, and then, you know, let it go. Or, you know, move on with your day, whatever.
Yes.
And just see if you can, or sit, do the meditations, whatever. And see if there is something that's going to be.
We do this all the time. We're like, okay, we do it together because we do, like, couples magic, I guess is what it would be called. He didn't even know he was doing this. I'm like, sorry, Nick. I'm like, honey, why don't we ask the universe about that thing? And so we sit together in reverence, in silence and stillness, and together, and we say, universe, da-da-da, and blah-blah-blah, and let us know. You can even ask, like, let me know within the next 24 hours. And then both me and Nick are on the lookout for signs or for some type of a confirmation of an answer, which can come in the form of an email, in a ad on TV, something we see outside, like...
someone throwing garbage at me on the street.
You know? And so, but you know, it's like your intuition, again, wherever that's located for you in your body, it's important to sit in silence and find out where she's at. Because that friction or that peaceful feeling is, that is your, you got to learn how to talk to her.
Yeah.
To your higher self or whatnot. Yeah. So that's huge. Silence meditation, get curious about you. I mean, away from distractions. I have a million journals where I just write things and I draw pictures sometimes. You know, it helps to make art. We need your art, so this is useful. I just want to give you permission to indulge your weirdness, because when you do that and you explore it and you allow yourself, is where you really discover that peaceful feeling. And I want you to write it down, and I want you to keep finding her.
Yeah.
Because she deserves to be indulged. You only get to be you this one time. As far as we know, you know, we don't know exactly what happens when we pass on from this experience on Earth, but I'm pretty sure I only get to be Amy one time. And so
your name's Amy?
Yes. My Earth name is Amy.
Government name.
But I would like to indulge her as deeply as I can. I think that's our only job.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, I think so too. So what's like, what was your process or your path or whatever? What do you, what are there any tricks, mechanisms, things that you do?
Well, like I said, those quizzes were really, yeah, I'm such a quiz taker. This is why I make like the Herbie House quiz, because it's like even just learning about yourself in one thing and another thing, and you combine like 30 different quizzes and you're like, oh, you have kind of a painted picture of who you are. And I would especially notice when I was trying to hide something from the world, or something that made me feel embarrassed, right? So I was like, well, why do I always want to wear these kind of clothes? And I was like, well, am I safe to wear baggy clothes? Like, what if people think I'm ugly? And then I was like, well, why does it, there's a situation where I was giving more weight and more importance to other people,
yeah,
over myself, my authentic self. And I was like, oh, we got to, so those are really good indicators to where you can try to shift and try. We did this last time with the limiting beliefs. Try wearing baggy clothes.
In the cringe episode too.
In the cringe episode, like these are ways to really continue picking out those pieces of yourself that deserve to be expressed, because you only get to be you this one time. We don't need another carbon copy. Mm-hmm. Those are old Carmen
first
fans.
First Carmen song ever.
The alarms are going off.
Do you remember? How did that one go?
The first song we ever put out as Carmen was it Carbon Copy?
It might have been.
Oh my God. We've been ranting about this shit for years.
What? Do you remember how it goes?
Somebody is singing it right now. Somebody listening to the podcast knows it. We're going to find the YouTube video
we're going to
put a clip, okay? Because we own that song, right? I hope so.
Who else does?
So for me, it's silence, meditation, journal, doodle, being weird, indulging my weirdness. Yeah, like
being goofy is important.
Sometimes I'll just sit in front of the mirror and make my makeup really strange, and just to see, because it washes off, bitch. It's not that serious. No one needs to know you even did this, but self-discovery time is like, I got to do it like once a week.
Yeah.
I try on weird outfits and take pictures in the mirror and like put my hair different ways. It's just really, really healthy. Therapy is very helpful if you're especially blocked, because if your answer on the percentage thing was like, oh, I'm not my authentic self at all, like you might need some professional assistance to get out of this rut, because girl, it is serious. I mean, seriously challenging if you felt unsafe your whole life to be you. I mean, that you have the right to be yourself. And so reclaiming that, I mean, it's worth doing therapy sessions with professionals. There's people out there that are so good at this. There's free videos all over YouTube about this by professional therapists if you're like a little nervous about picking somebody and paying. So I love YouTube videos with professional therapists are really helpful. I still watch them.
She does.
Myers-Briggs personality test is an interesting one.
Is that the PJ?
ENFJ, INFJ, yes. Yeah. I think I'm an INFJ now.
I forget what I am too. I think I'm an...
I think you're ENFJ.
Am I a J?
Oh, sorry, ENFP?
I might have been a J. I think I was really close, but I might have been a J.
So that will teach you a lot about yourself. Like I said, the links are going to be in the description of this episode if you want to just click on over. But I love the values one. Even like stupid style quizzes like that just pop up where you're like, oh my God, I'm an art girl. I'm an art girl. Like sometimes you just need to see it in front of you. Oh, I answered these questions to the best of my ability and I'm an art girl or I'm a goth girl or whatever. It's just really see how it feels too as you're getting the answers to these questions. Notice in your body if you're getting those rubs or that peaceful feeling and start to just get to know her. Carolyn Mace also has an incredible series of books about archetypes. And archetypes have been so helpful for me. I am tempted to just like put the thing up on my site so that you guys can do it quick and easy. But I would just start with the Sacred Contracts book. That one is really a quick, like just grab a used copy on Amazon if you can find it and go through her descriptions and find out what your archetypes are, girl. Like, are you a queen? Are you a princess? Are you a femme fatale? Are you a joker? Are you a... the hero, are you, you know, there's so many beautiful archetypes that, and picking out, you usually are a group of a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And it will just help you to further discover your authenticity. Okay. So moving on, because I, now, you know, sort of like, well, even just going shopping can be a good practice. Which stores are you attracted to? Which kind of clothes do you like? What kind of shoes? Like, these are all ways for you to continue to test it out. I'm really into the thrifting right now. I love like secondhand moments and sustainability. So I use ThredUp, which is like a thrift store app, and it's kind of gamified. So I'm a little addicted because you like things and then they have like little sales and you have to like figure out what you want and other people might want it. And there's only one of each thing. So it's very stressful and hilarious. But it helps me. It helps me because I get a box of clothes in the mail that are, you know, like $20 for like a shit ton of clothes. And you're like, oh, okay. So like I started buying suit jackets and I started buying baggier clothes and I really am enjoying the journey without having to make a bad impact on the planet and without having to produce more clothes. I'm discovering who I am in a sustainable way.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the next thing I want to focus on is cultivating a group of other souls around you that do make you feel safe. And I love the word cultivate because it's like when you're cultivating a garden, right? It's like you're putting the work in to make this beautiful supportive system for yourself. That's what we want. Like, who makes me feel safe to be authentic? I want you to think about that. Those of you that are listening, who in your current iteration of life makes you feel safe enough to be your authentic self? And what I mean by that is, if you're in a bad mood and you want to be ugly and cry, like who can you do that?
Who can you be goofy around? That's a big one for me.
Who can you be goofy around?
I mean, I'm a goofy around everybody, but who is going to be goofy in return?
Like Nick always is like, I bring out the inner idiot.
Yeah.
He brings out the inner idiot in everybody. And that's
my superpower.
Because you make them feel safe and seen. That is a gift that you have.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully.
Like my gift I've learned over time is I have courage to do almost anything. And Jedi's is, he makes people feel safe and seen. And yeah, it's just like, it may be easier to be more authentic around some people than other people, right? So you might be thinking about people in your circle right now and you're like, oh shit, wait. I mean, you know, there's some people that you want to spend 3 hours with. Some people you'll spend 3 days with. Some people you'll spend 3 months with. And other people you spend like 3 years. Like I always loved using that example because it's like, you know what I'm saying.
Or how quickly the time passes with these people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you feel drained when they leave? Do you have to sage the house?
Yeah.
When they leave? Like these are things we don't always think through.
Yeah.
Right? When we have friends and this social life and it's just like We almost look at social life as like currency in America. It's weird. Especially in this industry, like people are strategically being friends with people or dating people. It's like, oh God, no.
It's a huge deal. It could, you know, make or break your career. It's a huge, huge thing.
So that's like a denial of your authenticity, though, to me.
Another thing, too, that like, because we've been talking about this a lot, and I think everybody is, this is happening across the board, like the rotting of American value, business values, and like how it's some people might even think it would be, you know, like toxic or fucked up that I don't want to try to be, do it that way.
Right.
Well, why not? You must have low self-worth or whatever and all this stuff. It's like, dude, actually it's the opposite. I finally understand what I want to do and what I value, and yeah, what I want to spend my time on.
Yeah.
And I think we're all trained to be like, if you're not the most rich,
right,
or the most successful, or the whatever the fuck that means, right? Usually it just comes down to like perception and money.
Right.
If you don't have the biggest house, the fastest fucking car, whatever it is, then you're a loser. You're a failure. And that is so toxic.
It's so toxic.
That is, and so fake and so made up. And
if you ever meet these people that are that level of success, like they're all unhappy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at least for me, it's been a 100% batting average. Like,
yep.
Is that a batting average?
Yeah. So the most wealthy people we've ever met are just
a mess. The most like drama filled, like toxic individuals.
And it doesn't have to be that way.
But it doesn't have to be. Again, you know, maybe we were attracting that, you know, and we weren't being authentic, and those are the people.
Yeah, but it helps you clarify, you know, what you want to do. And if that is what you want to do, hey, more power to you. But I think it's really, it's when everybody has that mentality, this is where suddenly everybody tries to just squeeze every last dollar at it, everything. Yeah. And if everybody's doing that everywhere, then there's no integrity anymore.
Right.
And suddenly basic things that you start collapsing.
Yeah.
And I do think we're going to right the ship. We're going to be okay. But it just means like it's going to be everyday people, us, all people just like kind of like out here, just kind of living their adventure, trying to do it the right way that is going to change the ship. So if you can, and we talk about this all the time, if you can live authentically, you are saving the planet.
You are. That's why this episode is important.
Yeah.
Really, ultimately, because we've seen patterns of this already in our own personal life. You know, things we can't even discuss. It's like, oh man, there's days when I feel like the world is so dark. In fact, the other day I was on the phone with one of my really good friends and he was like, are you good? Are you okay, Queen? Like, you seem like a little bit more like, I don't know. You just seem like something. It doesn't feel
distracted.
Yeah. You feel distracted. And I was like, oh babe, you're 100% right. Like I'm distracted by this thing I'm going through and like I'm only able to think of it. And it sort of brought so much darkness to me because I realized like there's a lot of people that are supremely unhappy in this world. And my only purpose that I feel passionate about currently is helping people figure out who the fuck they are. Like I aggressively want you to win. That's what I'm interested in. That's what gets me off, babe. And so I had to dwell in some darkness this week and it was hard. I was like, we are a bit at war, right? With these people that are choosing to not honor themselves.
Or they're just supremely unconscious.
And maybe that's why the name Herbie is so meaningful to me because it means warrior,
yeah,
right? If I say Herbie House, bitch, we are in the house of warriors. Y'all who are listening are warriors. You've chosen this hard path. It's much easier to be toxic and gross. It's much easier. It's like the systems of our country are built upon a lot of those things.
Being the most authentic person you can possibly be is a form of activism.
Thank you.
And it doesn't mean sometimes it doesn't come with a lot of varying degrees of being uncomfortable.
And you're going to find out while you're trying to be more authentic that you succumbed to some of that bullshit. We are not perfect. We are not innocent.
That's fine. And accept it, laugh at it, and move on.
Even if you can take accountability, that's a sign of integrity.
Yeah.
So if you ever meet somebody who can't take accountability, you know that they're probably stuck in the slop.
Someone who's never wrong.
They're stuck in the slop, girl. They are upset. They are not living in authenticity for them, right? And it may have happened for a million reasons, but we are creating a safe space here for you. I want your number to go from, if you're at 9%, babe, we want you to get to a fucking 100% level of authenticity in this life or the next. There's no pressure. But that's the fucking goal, okay? So back to the cultivating your circle, okay? You may not be able to be your most authentic self with everyone. Not everybody's your bestie. That's another thing that always bothered me is like people are like, I can be friends with everybody. It's like, but do you want to?
Yeah.
Do you want that? Is that even sustainable? Do you have time to? Come on, don't you want to give your attention and energy to the people that are most aligned to you?
Yeah. You must be in your 20s.
Right, right. Like everybody's my bestie. I'm like, no, I just want to put in capital letters. Not everyone's your bestie.
And that's okay.
It's okay.
That's totally fine. I saw this meme. It was really funny. Hopefully this doesn't offend anybody. But it was a picture of like the Last Supper or whatever. And he's like, the most unbelievable thing about this is that Jesus had 12 friends in his 30s.
Oh, see? Oh, that is the...
Is it 12 or 11?
Yeah, 12 yeah. disciples. And well, one of them fucking, you know, deceived him.
Well, he didn't. Yeah, I guess it was 11.
It tracks. Okay, so that's really a good segue into the next thought that I had, which is maybe you're like me and you undervalue friendship. I was observing myself this last month because I got to see my actual bestie when I was in Denver. Woo woo. Shout out to Rachel. I love you, girl. And I was like, I have yet to meet another person in my life who has been more steadfast and trustworthy and loyal and like somebody I can call. And I don't call enough. And I don't seek friendships like Rachel. Right? Like she is the blueprint for me. Like she is so, I could cry. Like she's so amazing. And if you roll your eyes at like feeling deserving of beautiful friendships, babe, it's going to be an authenticity marker for you. This is something where you can practice being your authentic self and have the intention to attract those people. Because if you have a garden of beautiful friends around you, you're going to be able to get to that 100%.
We got to cry today.
It's wild. Cool. Because like if your family's behavior growing up didn't give you any other parameter for this, you know, their love was conditional or, you know, there's this tragedy of that and this grieving that you have to do to start over. Anyway, I just think it's a really good test for you to say, okay, who in my circle am I able to have at least like a 30 or 40% level of authenticity.
Yeah.
And how, so then what do you do if nobody makes you feel safe, right? You have to have the courage to be vulnerable and start being your authentic you around them. This is where it gets really scary though, right? When you're gardening, your garden of friendships. You start being you, right? So this friend that called me the other day too, love him so much because I just started being like, ah, you just called me out. Like, I feel like shit. And I started saying exactly what was on my mind. And he was just so loving and so supporting. And my being vulnerable, where I was just being a people pleaser before that in the conversation, shifted it to now we entered a new level of trust. So it's a risk. It feels scary, babe, when you have to be vulnerable with people, like especially for the first time. But you have to give them a little bit of that to find out what their response will be.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're authentic and real with people, really who you are, not trying to please them, they'll say, "Ooh, you're having a bad day." Well, I don't know. I depend on you for my happiness, and I call you to feel good about myself. So they're just going to disappear. And I found that I was afraid of that. I found I had so much fear of that because maybe
it's a form of rejection. Right.
A form of rejection, which nobody wants to feel.
Right.
But if you are cultivating this beautiful garden of friendships that's going to help you to bloom into the most beautiful, authentic you.
It's the only way forward.
Profound. I was like, it makes me so emotional, y'all. This is good shit. Okay?
And you are really, really good at this.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I realize, like, Nick, that's why I spend so much time with you, because you make me feel safe. See, and he has to make a joke out of it every time.
I like jokes.
All right, so
yeah.
Use the percentage hack when ever possible. How much of yourself can you be? And this will help you in your brain when you're putting that vulnerability out for the first time and you're so scared, babe. Just know that it's because of your upbringing or whatever situations you were in growing up that just, and it's nobody's fault. We're just here now and this is what we're doing. Put that vulnerability out there and see what happens. It'll go one way or the other. They're either going to love you more or they're going to disappear and you're going to make space for somebody better. That's all it is. It doesn't even have to be crazy. Do they encourage you to be your true self in the world? So we need to define and hold tight the people that do make us feel like our percentage is high. And we need to recruit and expand to those types of people that make us feel safe and held and unafraid to be ugly and real. You have to put yourself first. That's what this is.
Valuing your own opinion more than everybody else's.
Yeah.
Really what it is.
Yeah.
It's scary. And it took me years to really actually get there. And maybe I'm still not all the way there. You know, maybe from 5 years from now, I'll look back at this and be like, oh, wow, you weren't there at all. But it does, it's a process. It's a process. Chip away.
I don't know if this is the right approach because it might have some people pleaserisms in it. But I was like, well, how do I let these people go, right? How do I have the courage to be me and watch them fucking bounce, right?
Sue them.
I wrote a quote. I was like, I'm sorry I wasn't being myself before. I didn't feel safe to do so. I know you want what's best for me, so thanks for understanding. Because like for me, I just needed to process that. I was like, you don't actually have to say this to them. But that's the sentiment of what's happening.
Yeah.
For me, I'm like, no, I do take accountability. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they didn't ask you to pretend. You did. You did it. So I was like, okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't being myself. I didn't feel safe. And I know that you want what's best for me. So you give them the benefit of the doubt. And if it's not in alignment for them, you don't take it personally when they bounce and you got space for a new flower garden. So, damn, I mean, this is a rich episode.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I'm looking over my notes to see if I missed anything. And y'all let us know in the comments. Again, pop in the Discord if you're a part of the VIP community. Herbie.house is where you can join.
This is also the best possible time. The internet has made every possible niche and corner of everything that could never have possibly been popular before. There is now an entire community for it. And there is now's the time, man. This is a new world. The old rules do not apply anymore. So if you ever feel like, you know, scared in that way, just know that there's going to be 100 million people who are interested in a lot of the same shit you are.
Yeah. And that's so funny. You're segueing perfectly into my notes.
Thanks.
I think about in the terms of this being a creative living podcast, right? So our artists that are listening, that are like starting their own business and doing their thing, it's like if you made like an Instagram account for your business and you're getting like 10 likes and you're just feeling discouraged, or even if your personal Instagram, you're like, oh, I wish I got more than 10 likes, queen. Possibly you just haven't been able to find your authentic circle, your garden of people. Like this Jedi was saying, like there's a huge... The niches are now giant.
Yeah.
And so if you are able, it's actually a requirement that you live as authentically as possible. And if you do so on your social media, for example, you're going to experience more success and fulfillment. It's like a direct one-to-one ratio. The more time that you spend as an authentic expression of yourself, the more you're going to be in a flow state that's going to open up your creative brilliance to levels you've never experienced.
Makes your creativity more potent. It increases your joy.
Everything gets easier.
Everything gets easier.
This benefits everything. And the alternative to not being authentic means basically the studies are like, you're going to get sick? Fuck that shit. You know, we want you to get to 100%, like I said. Everything in your life is going to change for the better, and we are here to support you because, shit, this is this journey we're on. Like, we're doing this together.
Yeah, now's the time.
Now's the time. I hope that this episode inspired you. I hope it made you feel safe. I hope that you do some of the exercises here, you know, take the quizzes and give me your percentage, because I think that just even saying it out loud, when I told Nick last week, I was like, okay, growing up, I think I was at 9%. Like that really it just puts a figure to it. So then you can sort of conceptualize where you need to go and start looking for ways to be more authentic in your everyday life.
Yeah.
Because you deserve to be at 100%. I think that's actually the reason we're here.
Boom. Boom goes the dynamite.
Boom. Well, y'all, listen, if you have any ideas for more topics, we're always just going off of what we're actually experiencing, which feels so good to do. We can't wait to see you again in a couple weeks with another episode. And we hope that you had a beautiful Valentine's Day. Get yourself some chocolate.
That's right. Take yourself out. Get some ramen.
All right. We love you guys so much. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Mwah.